Hey folks, your OS reviews. You're watching our retro review of the T-Mobile HTC MyTouch 3G. This is actually the second Android smartphone that was ever released on T-Mobile. So it's one of the earliest Android smartphones that we had here in the US, and it's going to be an interesting look back as far as how much Android has matured and changed over the years. It was released back in 2009, and it had a trackball on the bottom here, a 3.2-inch display, which was relatively standard at the time, but absolutely tiny by today's standards. It's a capacitive screen with a resolution that's not so great in today's standards, 320 by 480, but good at the time. There's also a 3-megapixel autofocus camera on the very back, again, which seems laughably low, but back then it actually was a decent camera, and also had only 192 megabytes of RAM, which was not so great. However, it was sufficient for an early build of Android. As far as other specs, we had a 1,340 mAh battery, which is also pretty small, but it actually made the MyTouch 3G last for around 2 to 3 days, so it's not bad either. Other specs include Corning Gorilla Glass to protect the screen on the front, there is Wi-Fi, there is Bluetooth, there is GPS, and the processor is a Qualcomm 528MHz ARM11 chipset, which is, again, pretty low, not even 1GHz, and definitely single core. There's also an Adreno 130 GPU for some very light games that you can play on here, and that's basically it. Now, the version that I have here actually is the updated version of the MyTouch 3G, which has a built-in 3.5mm headphone jack on the very top. This was released a few months later. The original model that was launched actually did not have a headphone jack, so you had to use an adapter like most older HTC phones in the day, with a proprietary mini USB-esque connector that also went out to a 3.5mm jack. So it's kind of inconvenient, and it's actually something that was an update, something that you would have thought HTC would have fixed in the original design, but they didn't. In terms of color options, it came in white, they also came in black as well as red. So taking a look back at this pretty iconic phone, it was pretty popular back in the day. It looked a lot sleeker than the original HTC G1 Dream, the first Android phone to ever be released in the world. It was a step in the right direction and a step in the direction that Android phones are today. But there was still a chin that was derived from the original G1, kind of an interesting design choice, and it also is pretty thick by today's standards, but at the time, pretty portable. So here we have an Elephone device, P800. You can see how there is a massive size difference there in terms of the width. On the sides, you have access to a volume rocker, which was pretty thin. That same thing can be said about a lot of HTC phones that were designed in the same era. On the back here, you have access to the proprietary mini USB port for charging, syncing, and a microphone. On the other side, there is a aforementioned 3-megapixel sensor. There is no LED flash. There's also a speaker on the very back, which was decent, even though it tends to be a little bit muffled and tinny just because of that placement. And below here, you have access to a full-size SIM card slot, as well as the battery compartment and a micro SD card to expand on the memory, which was definitely needed. Because of the extremely low amount of built-in memory, a micro SD card was a must. With that being said, this early Android device did not even support the ability for you to download and save apps onto the SD card, which meant that you couldn't save many apps at all before the phone's memory became full, which is a downside of those early Android devices. Now, all the controls and all of the power options were located down below, which made for a pretty clustered experience in terms of button placement. So we had access to the traditional Android home, menu, back, and search keys, in addition to talk and end keys, physical keys as opposed to virtual on-screen buttons, which also allowed you to turn the phone's display on and off, and also a trackpad or a trackball, which allows you to navigate through things BlackBerry style if you didn't want to use the touchscreen. You wanted a bit more precision, that definitely worked pretty nicely. These controls are backlit, they are fairly tactile and responsive. The phone itself also does have haptic feedback, so it will vibrate whenever you tap on a key or on a certain menu. So here we have the home screen loaded. It actually came out originally with Android 1.6, but since then HTC has released an over-the-air update to Android 2.2 Froyo, which is the version that we're running here. So it's not as outdated as the original G1 or the original MyTouch 3G when it first came out would be in today's standards, but it still is a very, very early version of Android. There are no live wallpapers available on this phone, only a few preset versions by T-Mobile and HTC, but you can still see the same design cues from today's Android handsets derived from this phone. So you can see the drag down notification drawer that shows you different things like your running applications, but there are no shortcuts to turn Wi-Fi, Bluetooth on and off, so that's a limitation. There's also a universal search bar for Google on the very top there, widgets which are customizable, all favorites and things that we've come to expect and be familiar with. And of course, we only had 5 home screens back then, and then there weren't any more home screens that you could actually add even if you wanted to. So down below here, there is the universal drawer of your applications. There are a lot of preloaded bloatware on this phone, which is kind of interesting. There's Amazon MP3, antivirus, which actually not preloaded, but something that we loaded back in the day. There's also App Pack from T-Mobile, a barcode scanner, Best Buy products, the browser, calculator, the clock, and scrolling down, you can see there's a lot more apps on here, some of them which are preloaded, some of them which are not. There's also a YouTube client as well. Some of them no longer work because they have not been updated through the years, but you can see some of the original apps that were released when this phone came out. So if we wanted to quickly go through some of the more popular apps on here, let's go through the camera first. 3 megapixels, definitely not so great, but at least it has autofocus as opposed to being fixed focus. Let's say we have the Elephone P800 over here and wanted to capture the shot here. There is no touch to focus, although you do have access to different settings like the autofocus to infinity, which is the fixed focus. I can change the picture size between 3, 2, and 1 megapixel. The actual amount of the picture quality, super fine, fine, normal. Color settings, I can change the GPS, which is the geotagging functionality. I can change the white balance as well as the digital zoom, which will further destroy the resolution. So once I'm ready, it's going to focus and then take the shot. So in terms of the actual image quality, it's not as bad as you might expect from a 3 megapixel sensor, even though of course it's nothing to write home about as opposed to a lot of phones today with a 12 megapixel or a 20 megapixel sensor. So you can see here, it takes a few seconds to come into focus, and afterwards it does support pinch to zoom, multi-touch, and that works pretty decently in terms of your shots. They are pretty accurate as far as colors are concerned, and they do turn out better if you load them onto a computer as opposed to viewing them on the screen, which is pretty small. So a decent camera. Video, however, is very, very bad. So the frame rates are quite low and very jumpy. The actual resolution is capped at not even close to HD quality, and the actual microphone quality when recording the video also isn't that great. So it makes for a not so great camcorder, but it's an emergency feature that is built onto here. In terms of the phone call quality, the MyTouch 3G did deliver pretty solid phone capabilities, which was pretty important considering, again, smartphones are still phones at the end of the day, and the reception was quite strong. Battery life was also quite decent, lasting 2 to 3 days, and overall the microphone for voice calls did work pretty well, even though the speakerphone did tend to be a little bit tinny. If you were in louder environments, such as near a marketplace or an airport, it was a little bit more muffled in terms of the call quality, but overall it was acceptable as far as phone calls are concerned, and you are limited, of course, as the name suggests, to 3G as opposed to 4G. Other native apps include SMS text messaging, at which point I will show you the virtual on-screen keyboard. With a 3.2-inch display, the keyboard is extremely small and cramped. At least this is how I felt after trying to type on this phone again after so many years of not even touching it. After using phones with 5 inches or 5.5-inch displays, this seems absolutely tiny by comparison. It did have swipe out of the box, however, that was something you could turn on or off, and we have it off by default right now. And you can see how the horizontal orientation does work a little bit better, but you can still see how the lag, just because of the phone's processor of only being 528 megahertz, tends to make things not so great as far as typing goes. The actual portrait orientation seems to be only worse because of how cramped the actual size of the screen is. But back then, it was actually average as far as the typing experience goes. In terms of using this to web browse in today's standards, it still works okay if you're using it as a very light web browser, such as checking back maybe your stock prices, maybe some quick Google searches. If you're loading very advanced pages or text-heavy pages, that's okay. But if you're loading back pages that have a lot of flash elements, a lot of videos in them, it's not going to do as well, such as the New York Times. It might crash a few times. It might take up to 5 or 6 minutes to fully load. And those are all things that you have to take note of. With that being said, it does work well once pages are loaded, and you can use pinch to zoom, which was an update that was offered once the phone could run 2.2 Froyo. other things on here that are notable, there is a map which you can use the GPS on board to take a look at your different settings and use it for navigational purposes. It did not come with actual Google Streets, so if you wanted to look at the Street View, that was something you had to do by loading or downloading either another application or going into the web browser and searching up Street View directly, which was kind of interesting and a mission that I didn't really expect, but I found that was true once I revisited this device. Some other games on here that work pretty well even now would be Bubble Burst. That's kind of the classic game that you found on Windows mobile devices. Basically the same colored bubbles can be bursted and you want to try and pop all the bubbles as much as possible. So this is kind of a classic game that we saw on Windows mobile phones. I didn't really expect to see this on here. Of course, this was something that we installed back in the day, but it just shows the age of this phone. Graphically intensive games will not run at all on this just because the operating system is A, very old, and B, it's going to be extremely slow and jittery. But overall, you can see how far Android has really come. There are a lot of different details that are still familiar today, such as the universal drawer here for your applications, the drag-down notification drawer as well, but there are other elements which have become very foreign, such as the placement of so many physical controls and buttons, whereas now we have all virtual on-screen controls for a more simplistic and elegant approach. So overall, this has been a very interesting retro look back at the HTC MyTouch 3G, the T-Mobile MyTouch 3G, an iconic Android phone, the second phone to be released from T-Mobile here in the States, and since then we've come an extremely long way. Thanks for watching this retro review here at OS Reviews.